Blog Talk Radio.
Ice House, and that was Ivor Davies at the front of Ice House, great singer, great Australian band, singing Electric Blue, off their album of about 25 years ago, and a heck of an album it was as well. I think it was actually the Man of Colours album that was off. There's a brilliant song about painting, the Man of Colours, which was the lead song. Anyway, there you go. Haven't heard that for a while. That used to be my theme some time ago. And Deb, you picked it up out of the archives. How are you this afternoon, this morning, this evening?
I'm okay. How are you?
No, I'm very well. And so I should explain to everybody that you have stumbled upon Blog Talk Radio. You have further stumbled upon the group, A Team of Voices, which is in the wonderful world of allpoetry.com. And if you want to follow along with the links to the words to all of these poems and SoundClouds that we have today, the best thing to do is to come knock on the door, say hello to Deb, and introduce yourself nicely. And most of the time, all things being equal, we'll let you in. So that's as simple as that. Meanwhile, we do have some callers. Hello, Wayne. How are you? Hello, Wayne. Dwayne. Come in, Wayne.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. How you doing tonight?
That's good. Very good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I got four or five friends here right now. They're getting ready to take off, but we just watched the ball game. Ball game was ended a little while ago. But I'm here, but I might not be talking for 5 minutes. Give me five minutes.
So we'll do your poem first, Dwayne. Is that the go? Then you'll disappear away, yeah?
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah. Okay, righto, cool. Well, bear me one tick, and I'll quickly say hello to Hatter. Hatter, how are you? Have you got your phone fixed?
I'm okay. It didn't save. Didn't save, AP.
That's why I was trying to see if you could get a screen copy. Anyway, these things happen, Hatter. So, you know, whether they happen for the worst or best, who the heck knows, but they happen. So now I'm going to put your poem on the board, Wayne, and I believe this is a very recent one, and I believe that you've got a SoundCloud as well.
Yes, I do. Appreciate it, man.
Okay. Bear with me. I'm going to put it on the board, and it is now on the board, and I'm now going to go to the studio, which Deb has set up very nicely for me, and we have your SoundCloud here. So I'm going to play that now, Wayne.
Cool beans.
This is called I Don't Think I'll Go Back. The fall was bad as I pulled into the mostly empty parking lot. Got a good deal on the internet, I thought. The hotel sign just said hot. There were no bellhops or parking valet, and there was no line. We walked up to the front desk. I wondered which room was mine. An old man, creepy old man, said sign. Could barely read in dim light. He laid key on the counter and said upstairs, last room on the right. The place was empty, dark and damp. Noticed the mirror was cracked. There was no heat or air. Terrible view. No TV was just some of what lacked. My girl was making jokes about how we'd never get out of here. I was mad, but somewhat confused, almost to the point of fear. We thought we heard some girls scream, but only saw a white peacock. With nothing to do, we decided to go to bed around 10 o'clock. At midnight, I was woke by the sound of a big party. Could hear glass break. Lay there listening to about 1:30. I had about all I could take. Got up, put on my slacks, and opened the door. There was total silence. I walked down the corridor and back. Felt like I couldn't keep my balance. When I walked in the room, my girl was crying. Had blood on her clothes. Sit down beside her. That's where the blood came from. Replied, who knows? Then the knock on the door. Knocked three times. I opened the door. There was no one there. There's my footprints on the dusty floor. I turned around and there was a black bird in the window. It was a raven. It raised its beak and let out a squeal. I wanted out of this devil's haven. We quickly packed. Didn't say a word. We slowly walked down the hall. As we passed the room, the door was open. A chair rocking was all we saw. We went out the door, headed straight for the car, I was holding key. The wind was blowing. We looked over and saw a peacock walk through a tree. My girl said it was a ghost. I was thinking, what the hell was going on? Started a car, and as we drove off, three zombies rose up and moaned. When the sun rose, we made about 40 miles. Morning air was sweet. My girl screamed. She looked back. There was a bloody knife on the back seat. And?
Well, there you go, Wayne. That was sort of the complete sort of eerie story. I do like your comment about the fact that next time you're staying at the Holiday Inn, there's something in that, you know, all things being equal. I mean, I've never got much out of Holiday Inns, but then it probably wouldn't get much out of the place you were staying either. Deb, did you want to make a comment about Wayne's Pump? Don't think I will go back.
Well, for starters, I don't really think I want to go there. Wow. Some wicked place. I think that your details here are really cool. An old man, creepy old man, said sign, could barely read in dim light. He laid key on computer and said, upstairs, last room on the right. Your rhymes are cool in here. And when I walked in the room, my girl was crying and had blood on her clothes. I'm like, oh my, where are we going? There was no one there. There was only my footprints on the dusty floor. I mean, it was really creepy, and I thought that your read was awesome. And this was a long one for you, but you had me enthralled, so I didn't even notice. I mean, it's really, really good. Fun share. Creepy fun.
Thank you, Deb.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you, Wayne. I was going to go to Hatter for a comment. Hatter, did you want to? What did you think?
It sounded great. I was not able to follow. I'm going to have to reboot my phone. So
okay.
I wasn't able to follow, but it sounded. Wayne's getting really good at the rhyme and the storytelling. Sorry, Wayne, I wasn't able to follow.
You did a fine job, Wayne. I was most impressed. Well done. And it was appropriately creepy and appropriately sort of tongue-in-cheek at the same time. So I'm very, very happy for you to stay around, but it sounded like you were looking to get ready to disappear. Is that fair?
I'll be here for a few more minutes.
You're here for a few more minutes? Okay. All right. Well, if that's the case, now, Hattie, you don't have you're recreating your poem, aren't you, after having it and then losing it. Is that fair to say?
Talking to me?
Yes. Yeah. You're writing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is that right? At the minute. Okay. I'm going to take that as you're writing. Deb, I'm going to just put one of my. I've got a couple of classic poems that I was going to put in, and I'm going to put in one of my favourites now, then we'll keep going through the poems, if that makes sense.
Sounds like a plan.
You know, all right. And hello to Jenny and hello to Silk in the back rooms. This is, for those who know me well, Ujuru Nunukul, or originally known as Kath Walker from the Rainbow Serpent. This is the Ballad of the Totems, and it goes a bit like this. My father was a Nunukul man and kept the old tribal way. His totem was the carpet snake, whom none must ever slay. But mother was of the Peewee clan, and loudly she expressed the daring view that carpet snakes were nothing but a pest. Now one lived inside us with full immunity, for no one dared to interfere with father's stern decree. A mighty fellow 10 feet long, and as we lay in bed, we kids would watch him round a beam not far above our head. Only the dog was scared of him. We'd hear its whines and growls, but mother fiercely hated him because he took her fowls. You should have heard her diatribes that followed in angry torrents with words you'd never see in print, except in D.H. Lawrence. I'll kill that robber, she would scream, fierce as a spotted cat. You see that bulge inside of him? My speckly hen made that. But father's loud and strict command made even mother quake. I think he'd sooner kill a man than kill a carpet snake. That reptile was a greedy guts, and as each bulge digested, he'd come down on the hunt at night, his appetite suggested. We heard his stealthy slithering sound across the earthen floor, while the dog gave a startled yelp and bolted out the door. Then over in the chicken yard, hysterical fowls gave tongue, loud frantic squawks accompanied by the barking of the mung, until at last the racket passed, and then to solve the riddle, next morning he was back up there with a new bulge in his middle. When father died, we walked and cried, our grief was deep and sore. And strange to say, from that sad day, the snake was seen no more. The wise old men explained to us it was his tribal brother, and that is why it done a guy. But some looked hard at mother. She seemed to have a secret smile. Her eyes were smug and wary. She looked about as innocent as the cat that ate the pet canary. We never knew, but anyhow, to end this tragic rhyme, I think we all had snake for tea. One day, about that time, in poem. A personal favourite of mine. I don't know if you've heard that, Wayne, but that's one of my favourite little Australian poems. So if you haven't heard it, you have now.
It's a fun one. And I don't think I've read a poem where digested and suggested were rhymes. But it was really
fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
And the I'm not even going to try to butcher that. Amazing name.
Yeah, so it's tribal name as well as her name that she sort of carried before she went back to her tribal name. Anyway, I'm going to get another SoundCloud on now, and I saw Pee-wee on the board, so I'm going to get Pee-wee's SoundCloud on the board, which is ready to roll up now. So, Pee-wee, here we go with your piece.
Gritty. Existence has lost all meaning. Gray is now the only feeling. There was a time and a place I would reach to touch your face. Those days are gone and left alone. My insides have turned to stone. I still reach from time to time for your hand, finding only mine. Colors I knew once burned bright, passion's red, holding you tight. Misery's blue when missing you. Envy's green as you were untrue. Nowadays this gray, it's all I know. No one had a clue where you'd go. Put another candle in the window, although you're not coming home. So I sit, this old book in hand, pondering why it came to end. Loving you madly, I couldn't see why you'd cared so little for me. Folks tell me that you'll be back. That faith is something I lack. Gray now washes over me again, thinking of your touch, your skin. I'd give away this cold, lonely gray to share with you one more day. Fate is cruel, misery my mistress. There's a gray stone I'll beat in your head with. And boom.
Well, that's a strong poem, Pee-wee. It is, and it's dark, and it's certainly darker than grey. Goes very black towards the last stanza. I've got a person on the line I think that I might know. Hello, sweet. How are you?
I'm good. How are you tonight, AP?
I am very, very well. I'm very, very well. I'm interested to see if you heard that piece by Pee-wee, because it was very dark. Sweet.
I did hear that piece by Pee-wee, and I got to tell you, this guy just does something to my dark heart, and this one, and it turned me inside out, especially where I'm at right now and how I'm feeling. Gray is definitely something there. His third stanza in there, colors I once burned bright, passions that hold me tight. Nature's been reminiscing me, and he's been reminiscing me. This is a really brilliant, great rhyme, but the metaphors in there and the imagery are so well blended together, especially since the double entendre of words like red and blue and green, and I mean, they're so great. And what I like is green is also envy is also like
yes.
I really kind of stood into that stance. It was beautifully written, beautifully done. Really enjoyed.
Okay. Well done. Thank you, Sweet. Thank you for joining us. And Deb, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought he did great with this one. And like right from the get-go, existence has lost all meaning. Gray is now the only feeling. There was a time and place I would reach to touch your face. Those days are gone. And left alone, my insides have turned to stone. I think that it speaks so well to gray, to being alone, to sad. And that sadness played out in his voice as he read it for us, too. And at the end there, I'd give away this cold, lonely gray to share with you one more day. Fate is cruel and misery, my mistress, a gray stone I beat in your head with. And I'm like, whoa, wait, what? So what an ending. Great share.
It was. Heck of an ending. Wayne, are you still with us? I'm not sure he is. It sounds like he's not. Hannah, are you with us or are you working? Because I know you've lost your
I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I'll be with you in 2 minutes.
Okay, well, that's okay. That's cool. Too easy. Okay. If that's the case, I should say, too, have you got a few minutes with us, Sweet, or do you need to read and run?
I've got about 6 more lines to write, and then I'll probably read and go.
Okay, well, that's cool.
I've got a few minutes for you.
No, that's good. Yeah, no, that's good. Well, if that's the case, I'm going to read a dark poem by Psyker. How's that? I don't do that very often, but I'm going to.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay. So, and it fits beautifully, I think, with the whole sense of grey by Pee Wee. So let us put that up on the board, and I'm going to read it. This is a Dance with Shadows by Psyker, and it goes a little bit like this. In the heart of night's dark embrace, where shadows whisper secrets, lies a place, a realm where blood's sweet nectar calls, and creatures of the dark heed its thralls. Voracious beasts with hearts of ice, cloaked in glamour, beauty's disguise. Silent as the moon's soft sigh, their hunger for crimson, never to die. Fangs like daggers sharp and keen, on pallid throats a sight unseen. The velvet kiss of shadows dance, a symphony of terror, death's romance. With eyes that pierce the blackest veil, they hunt their lust a crimson trail. Predators of the night they stalk, with whispers haunting like a ghost talk. In moonlight silver strands they glide, deceptive grace, a fearsome pride. Their crimson feast the stuff of dreams, as terror rends the night with screams. Enslaved by hunger's vile embrace, these demons of the night they chase. Their hearts entwined with darkest fear, eternal damned, forever near. A mirror's face they never see, for shadows claims their soul to be. The phantoms dance a twisted fate, a life of blood to satiate. Beware the night, the time of dread, when sleep's sweet refuge you shall shed. For in the dark they lie in wait, the crimson kiss, your doom, your fate. in part.
Wow.
Something like that. Deb, did you want to say a few words while we...
Well, great read for one, but easy, so easy to see why this is a gold-winning poem. I love the title, A Dance in the Shadows. It fits perfectly, but gosh, I could pick anywhere. Fangs like daggers, sharp and keen, on pallid throats, a sight unseen. The velvet kiss of shadows dance, a symphony of terror, death's romance. I mean, it's just the wording, the rhyme, the flow, the story content, all the way down towards the bottom too. A mirror's face they never see, for shadows claim their souls to be. The phantoms dance a twisted fate, a life of blood to satiate. I mean, really, really good. It's like a definite vampire story. Perfect details. Excellent share.
Yeah, brilliant. It's a brilliant chair. I looked at it before we started to have a bit of a to see what it was, and I just really loved the way it flowed, Deb, and so that's why I was keen to read it, even though I'm not sort of known as a dark poetry reader. But, Sweet, what did you think?
I think you pulled off a dark poetry reader sensation. It's another wonderful poem. Wow, the velvet kiss, the eyes that pierce the blackest veil, moonlight silver strands, enslaved by hunger for the yellow bridge. These are one of the poems that I could go on and just take the first line of every stanza in its own, and it becomes its own poem. And I love to do that with poems. And it's really great to do with this one. It's so very well done. It's just, you're enthralled with the story, the language, the everything about it. Just want to, it's one of those poems I want to crawl in and linger into. So I really love this. Great.
There you go. Can't argue more than that. Thank you, Sweet. It was really cool. And great to have you on the radio too. Now, Deb, did you want to do your piece next, which is Silver Snowflakes?
I sure can, but talk about lightening up the mood.
I just go backwards and forwards. Light and shade, Deb. Light and shade. That's what it's all about.
There we go. Balancing out, right? Okay, let me see here. Let me get back over here. And, okay. This is called Silver Snowflakes Frosted the Flowers in Red Fruit. Here we go. Blooms of ornamental cabbage and kale border the purple crocus and pansy bed, coloring all the wraparound porch edges with winterberry holly adding pops of red. From the bushes, they bookend the stairs by the pair of carved wooden lion heads. Night chases the sun from the landscape. Hail pelts rooftops as ice rain coats wires. And as thermometers drop from the chills, chimney smoke rises from fireplace fires. Parents read the bedtime storybooks, then tuck the children in beds for the night. Winter breezes whirl and snowflakes twirl, then frost powder coats the trees in white. Now the icy branches glitter in the beams as the moon tosses down neon opal light. Snowbirds land for their arboreal condos, hunkering in nests built in springtime. Two owls hunt squirrels neath moonlight, and snowflakes fall, tapping wind chimes. Wind gusts rock all the treetop branches, swinging the evergreen tips in the icy air. Terracotta porch planters hold iris bulbs blooming from the yellow Adirondack chair that Grandpa built in the barn out back. Dawn ushers the sun and the trees and the rays glare. Backyard birds scan the yard for berries, now spotlighted as the amber sun crests. But as the birds land on the bush to feast, tap,
burglar blue jays rob cardinal nests, singing the morning musical as they soar, puffing up shades of blue on their breasts. 8 inches of snow blanket all the lawns. Icicles hang from rain gutters in view. But the frosted fruit-filled breakfast bushes feed the avian critters drawn to the red hue. End poem.
Mm-hmm. I like that, Deb. That's such a Deb sort of piece. It's got Adirondack in it to start with. You know, which I know is one of your favourite words of the minute. And but it just has this, well, it does. And it's just got this sort of sense of peace and sort of nature around things. Yeah, really, really, really cool. Hatter, did I hear you in the background?
Thank you.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I remember this poem. We had a conversation about the environment changing the cardinal's feathers. Is that what it was?
Yeah, absolutely.
We did have the
that yellow one down there is not supposed to be yellow. As beautiful as he is, it's because of climate change and pollution and pesticides. And the cardinals themselves are fading from red to tomato-ish orange. And it's, you know, very sad.
Probably that yellow snow.
Ew. No, it's not the yellow snow.
No, I think they had it. God help me.
I'm sorry.
Bounced off the top. Wait, did you want to say a few words about Deb's poem?
I think it's yellow snow. I'm going to agree with Hatter.
Oh, God.
Okay. No, it's perfectly Deb. I think it's beautiful, and I've always, you know, your imagery, it just always blows me away. I'm not full of thought in all of that right now. It's kind of nice just to lie in your softness. The best way I can describe it. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sweet.
Thank you, sweet. Very cool. Now, Hatter, I'm going to assume you're all writing and recovering information from your phone. Sweet, you're going to pop up and tell me when you've finished your poem, yeah? Because I know you've still got a little bit
I'm
to go.
Done.
Yeah?
I'm done with my poem.
You've done with your poem. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, it was very, very done anyway. I was just kind
okay.
of
very done.
In shock. Yeah.
Okay.
It was kind of done.
Okay.
It's just odd that Peewee and I kind of wrote on the same subject. So I was
Okay, well, we've had a couple of moments separation. That's okay. So, you know, we can do it now. That's cool. And I should say thank you to Jenny for commenting in the background. Aha! Here we go.
Yeah. There you go.
Stop.
So this is off. Do you hear the voices between TikToks of moments? I see people. Do you hear the voices between the TikToks of moments, and the shadows of the past, vomit of affinities into virginal thoughts, leaving nothing clean to refresh the palate of another day off. Bleeding from the scars left by the talons of a monstrous rage, I still cradle the perceptions of forever after long since gone, breaking bread to the table, silence the virtue of grace. Time bounds no one to a floor, leaf over dreams. Fools who walk towards a rainbow of false security, who refuse to call it death. Wave goodbye to a gentle rain. Welcome to the roar of the storm. Feverish fury ignites and violates the court of the moor. I bite and I scratch until I've killed the demon called love. Splattered in the brain matter of vows. Now, lying in the filth of my own lies, I hide my truth within my pride. Observe me not with your empathy or disdain. I do not walk blindly. You need arrogance of my own self instead of shame. Now, stand alone. Do you hear the moments between the tick-tock of moments? Do you hear the voices between the tick-tock of moments? Where shadows of the past vomit obscenities onto virtual thoughts, leaving nothing clean to refresh the soul, no other scale off.
There's a degree of sadness and regret in that little piece, sweet, I would like to say. I like when you hear the voices between tick-tocks of moments. You're about to say, did you hear the moments between the tick-tocks of voices? And that's almost better. It's like a Freudian slip, and it's even cleverer. The shadows of the past vomit obscenities onto virginal thoughts, but nothing clean to refresh the palate of another day lost. It's really, you think about refreshing the palate, you think about wine, and you think about sort of lolling that around, and it's a really good juxtaposition to the previous two lines. It's there's a sadness and there's a longing of something that's not there. So I really like this one, and I'm going to pass to Deb to make a comment. Deb, what did you think?
Well, my sweet, I am a fan, and I too really, really love that opening stanza. But I noticed in a lot of the flow going on here, you had some rhyme happening, which I'm thinking that we're rubbing off on you, just saying. But man, oh man, feverish fury ignites and violates the core of the demure. I bite and scratch until I have killed the demon called love. Splattered in the brain matter of vows, I now stand still, but kill the demon called love. That says so much right there. And then your ending, do you hear the voices between the tick-tock of moments, where shadows in the past vomit obscenities? And it, of course, bringing us right back to that opening stanza, so that full circle is really cool. But yeah, aside from the awesome content, I'm taken by how many rhyming things are happening in there. Woohoo!
Thank you. Thanks for hanging out with you people.
Haddock, did you get to listen to any of that, or were you otherwise occupied?
Oh, I listened to it. I was able to follow along. Phone works.
Oh, even better. Did you want to say a few words?
So sweet. Was this sort of like the regret not being able to cleanse your soul with another before they passed?
No.
Is that what I got?
This was being at a birthday party with an ex-husband. There's just a lot of going things going on. I just had birthdays.
Cool body. Rock on.
Leave it on the do it all on the paper.
Yeah, it's just something that had to go on paper. And it's just a lot of things that, you know, my life is going on right now. There's a lot of things going on.
Yep.
You know what they say, the Lord never gives you too much on your plate at one time that you can't handle, they say. I think I read it on the internet.
What they say? You read that on the internet? I think my dad had that over his wall somewhere.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I read it somewhere before.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thank you, Sway. Thank you, Hatter. I have a poem that's coming up on the board by Gress. We don't get to hear from Gress very often, but we've got a poem from Gress. And so I'm going to read it. He's terrific. So, this is Take Me Nowhere by Gressman, and it goes a little bit like this. I live and died on the entry to Y. My friends keep telling me to stop. But you see, I don't have time to cry. I want 6 feet and a place to drop. Killing me is nothing new to do. Coming back is something new. I don't have the answers, but if I did, I might survive this emptiness. Nowhere is where I live too much hate to forgive. I'm an outcast in my family. I did it to myself, can't you see? Hell's a relief from where I've been, a street nomad in the pain desert. Telling myself no one gets hurt from the actions I do to myself. Lying, taking nowhere they say, but I've been taping my butt. The same feeling I've always known. There are no roads back home. Nowhere is where I live. Too much hate to forgive. I'm an outcast in my family. I did it to myself, can't you see? They tell all they didn't give up on me. I'm still welcome in the family. But give me a hug and a smile that chokes the concoction from my veins. But there it still remains, my only company that fills my emptiness. Nowhere is where I live too much hate to forgive. Family, I did it to myself, can't you see? I don't want to be nowhere anymore. I'm at rock bottom. I'm on the floor. Just asking, will you open the door? End poem.
Wow. Great read.
That's something. Right there, that's something.
And it's a, they're actually lyrics.
They are.
Wow.
They are. They're lyrics. God damn. Don't know what to what song, but they're lyrics for sure. Did you hear? No, switch dropped. So it's only yourself, me, and Hatter. Hatter, did you hear that one from Gress?
Yes, I did. I'm glad, and it shows that Gress Man can still write. This is very good. I like the repeating
he can
line in
write.
It. Yeah. The repeating point in it. It's a good hook. I sort of wanted it to end with that line too, but now that's his choice.
I understand.
He put
a tail on it. Yeah.
Wow.
Really cool.
I really like
hear
his voice.
Yeah. I really like a poem, Gress, by the way, if you're listening in. And I know you've had a few things on and you haven't been able to write too much recently, but just terrific to have one of your pieces here on the show. Now, Hatter, your piece I saw was up on the board after all. Yes?
Before you move on,
I just wanted to say that was by The Offspring, The Opioid Diaries, which is... So he nailed the topic for addiction. Like,
wow.
He just blew me away. But one more thing. I'm stuttering here because I am really blown away. I had put feelers out to see if anyone wanted to donate points with us for Winter Park, which is coming up next month. And I have to say that Stephen and Kay just sent 1 million points.
No kidding.
Almost knocked me off my chair. Thank you both so much. Mark's going to fall off his chair, but you're both appreciated.
Points existed.
Wow.
Oh, well, Kay's the super commenter. And,
I thought he meant Queen. I thought completely, but even still.
Yeah. No, she had an in-house topic one time, and I believe it was Osama that got like 500,000 points or maybe even 1 million. So, like I said, it's mind-blowing, and I just wanted to put it out there. Thank you, Kay. Thank you,
Stephen.
That's
brilliant. God, that's amazing. Okay, having said that, our very humble thanks to Stephen and Kay, and we'll hear a soundcloud from Kay a little bit later on too. Hatter, did you want to read your piece, or do you need a reader?
Sure. No, I think I can read it today. I can see.
Okay.
I went way back in my vault.
Oh, I can see you did
some change.
It's gone back.
It's called The Journey.
8 years. Jesus Christ. Okay. Yep. Let's do it.
Everybody got it?
Yep.
It goes like this. To wander through a lifetime of nonsensical ways, a journey once traveled through my nights and her days. A soul displayed on her walls to read, whispering, please explain that to me. Reflections you wrote on my wall by chance, please tell me these stories of the shadows that dance. Yesterday's folded and stored away rhymes, colors the days when you were once mine. We flew to the moon on celestial wings, holding each other's wishes and dreams. Perfectly hung talent that dripped crimson red tore through my soul from the things that you said. I traveled in time for the things once called mine, remembering that it was you, watching for signs that never quite rhymed, not knowing what to do. Bloody and cold, the passion so told, the answers are not what they seem. Lost and afraid, fearing to stay, losing by sharing a dream. The day came and went, but my fortunes were spent. I stood here, alone in the rain, whispering lines that came undefined. The shadows drove me insane. It's written in stone and never alone. I cover my eyes to see, searching the skies for a place to die from a world that does not recognize me. It was better before I lost it.
No, it wasn't. It was really good, Hatter. It was really good.
Cool.
And it was really good because it was an honest depiction of emotion and an honest depiction of what somebody set out to do to you, and that was perfectly horrible and dreadful, and you captured all of that nastiness, horribleness in a rhyming piece, and that's that. As I said, it's a horrible, awful thing. There's no nice way to sugarcoat it, and you didn't in this piece.
Yeah.
And for that, I give you a nod, Deb. What did you think?
Yeah, like how did this one is mind blowing, and I think. I was trying to see. I remember when you read this the first time, and because it's dark, I can't see it at the moment. But I want to say, anyway, that ending, searching the skies for a place to die from a world that does not recognize me. I recognize you, Hatter. But, man, cold, the passion so told, the answers are not what they seem, lost and afraid. Fearing to stay, losing by sharing a dream. I mean, oh, you gutted me. It's a powerhouse.
Thank you, Deb.
No, I really like it, Hatter. Really like it. So, it has a real honesty to it. Yeah. And, very tough to go after that, so I'm going to turn to one of my traditional poems, Hatter, because hard to sort of match that. So I am going to go to the videotape, and rather than Banjo Patterson that I would normally do at this point, I am going to turn to Henry Lawson, Hatter, because when Henry Lawson did his pieces about the bush, he did it with a very different sense to Banjo Patterson. And so this is The Ballad of the Drover by Henry Lawson. And it goes a little bit like this. Across the stony ridges, across the rolling plain, young Harry Dale the Drover comes riding home again. And well his stock horse bears him, and light of heart is he, and stoutly his old pack horse is trotting by his knee. Up Queensland way with cattle, he's travelled regions vast, and many months have vanished since home folk saw him last. He hums a song of someone he hopes to marry soon, and hobble chains and camp wear and jingling to the tune. Beyond the hazy dado, around the lonely skies, and yon blue lines of ranges, the station homestead lies, and thitherward the drover jogs through the laby noon, or hobble chains and campware, a jingling to a tune. An hour has filled the heavens with storm clouds inky black, at times the lightning trickles around the drover's track. But Harry pushes onward, his horse's strength he tries, in hope to reach the river. Before the flood shall rise, the thunder pealing over him goes rumbling down the plain, and sweet on thirsty pastures beats fast the splashing rain, and every creek and gully sends forth its tribute flood. The river runs a banker, all stained with yellow mud. Now Harry speaks to Rover, the best dog on the plains, and to his hardy horses, and strokes their shaggy manes. We've breasted bigger rivers when floods were at their height, nor shall this gutter stop us. I'm getting home tonight. The thunder growls a warning, the blue fork lightnings gleam. The drover turns his horses to swim the fatal stream, but oh, the flood runs stronger than e'er it runs before. The saddle horse is failing, and only halfway all. When flashes next the lightning, the flood's grey breast is blank, and the cattle dog and pack horse are struggling up the bank. But in the lonely homestead, the girl shall wait in vain. He'll never pass the stations in charge of stock again. The faithful dog a moment lies panting on the back, then plunges through the current to where his master sank. And round in circles, he fights with failing strength, till gripped by wilder waters, he fails and sinks at length. Lowlands and slopes of sodden loam, the pack horse struggles bravely to take some tidings home, and mud-strained, wet and weary, he goes by rock and tree, with clanging chains and tinware, all sounding eerily. The floods are in the ocean, the stream is clear again, and now a verdant carpet is stretched across the plain. But someone's eyes are saddened and someone's heart still bleeds in sorrow for the drover who sleeps among the reeds. End poem.
Wow.
This is pretty good.
Writing, Lawson. He could write.
I can show that dog in that.
Yeah, he could really write. Just a brilliant story, and as I said, a very different feel to it to Banjo, but just could really write. Deb, you've heard that one before.
To figure out, because usually when you share one, I put like so that my name shows up there, and it's not there. But wow,
right.
I mean, where was that part? The faithful dog, a monument, lies panting on the bank, then plunges through the current to where his master sank, and round in circles he fights with failing strength, till gripped by wilder waters. He fails and sinks at length. It's like there's a lot of sadness in the poetry tonight. And and another one that's got the emotion and the sadness oozing right in the middle of flawless rhyme and flow and cadence, and like your read as usual was really awesome. And I was just also noticing that this poem has only had 14,700 views. So, like,
yes.
I would have to say that this is a popular poem of his,
yes.
and it's
yes.
really brilliant.
Yeah. No, I haven't read it on radio before, Deb. I was looking for another poem, then I actually stumbled into this one, and I thought, no, I'm going to read this one because it's really, really cool. I haven't actually read it before, I didn't know about this one. Henry was far less published than Banjo, but gee, he could really write a poem. So there you go. Anyways, now I know Jenny's been sticking with us the whole way on the board, so thank you, Jenny, for commenting on everybody and stuff. So it must be about your time to put your poem on. meantime, we do have a caller. Hello, 937. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hey, P. Sweet. Deb, you guys might want to leave me on mute, though, because I have a ton of noise until I'm ready to read. Then I'll go outside to read, and I'll just comment on the board.
Okay.
Or...
Yeah. No, that's absolutely fine. Is it relatively quiet there now, Silk? You tell us when you want to read.
Well, I can wait for a bit. I can just step outside to read. I just don't want to go stand outside
okay.
the whole time. That's all it is.
Oh, no, fair enough, too. No, sure. Okay,
yeah.
Well, we'll hold you there. You want to put yourself on mute, and then I'll unmute you as we get to you. Yeah? How's that?
Yeah, that'll work. I'll mute.
Okay. Thanks again. So we'll talk to you soon. And thanks for joining us. Okay. I was going to put Jenny Soundcloud on. That's exactly what I'm going to do now.
Release the Kraken on their lies. Whatever happened to being your own person, follow your head. Follow your heart. Live life. Don't waste it. Edit your mistakes. Wise words we were all once taught. In one ear, out the other. Like that, they forgot. Raw rumors ruined reigns of rule. Centuries after centuries, conspiracies created. Never needing necessary proof. Twisting words rendering truth useless. When will evidence matter? Falsely accused, vindicated, still not believed. Instigators and liars walk scot-free, no remorse. Guilty by association, no explanation allowed. So much fiddle-faddle fakeness, failed friendships. Release the Kraken on those dreary demon deities. Let the wet, watery mouth swallow their shallow, steep ship of lies whole. Whirling round and round, let their heads spin. Never feel truth. May it always win. End poem.
There you go. Great to hear from you, Jenny, and great SoundCloud. And it was great to actually hear about some sort of truths of life, which is basically thing, and that we all make mistakes, and that just we let them be and we just keep on going. And it sort of reminded me of the Franklin Delano Roosevelt address at the Sorbonne, which sort of was a little bit like, you know, respect those people who are doing things and going after things, and not be one of those people who just comment sadly from the crowd. So I really liked it. Thank you for sharing it. Deb, what did you think?
Oh, I think this is brilliant, and I love her title, Release the Kraken on Their Lies. There's some liars I would love to release the Kraken on, just saying. But the poem, oh my goodness, wise words were all once taught in one ear and out the other. Like that, they forgot. So true. So much fiddle-faddle fakeness, failed friendships. Released a Kraken on those dreary demon deities. Let the wet, watery mouths swallow their swallow. Steep ship of lies whole. And then I'm adding on the side, and just hope they choke on it. It's just, this is a really powerful, in-your-face poem. But it's true, you know, in most cases our parents teach us way better than we act sometimes. And I say, how do people keep track of the lies? And usually they can't, not until they get caught. But I love, again, one more time, I love the thought of releasing the Kraken on them for sure. Great share, Jenny. Thanks for supporting the show.
Thanks, Deb. And Hatter? Did you hear that piece?
Yeah. You know, I've now read several of Jenny's. She's entered the contest that we judged, and a couple that I've read. There's something very familiar. I get her thought process when she creates the poem. It seems like it's very familiar to me.
Absolutely. It does feel right, Hatter, doesn't it? Lands right for some reason, but it does.
Yeah.
Now, Silk, can I get you to give us a comment, and then do you want to wander outside and I'll put your palm on the board?
Yeah, if I can get myself off mute here. So I just got a new phone, and I haven't completely got the hang of my new phone yet. But no, I really dug this, Jenny. I saw her in the audience, so I'm sure she can hear me. And I really dug the kind of righteous anger in here a little bit, especially with that whole release the Kraken line on their lives. And in this whole part where she's talking about people, what was it? That first stanza, like you were talking about, follow your head, follow your heart, live life, don't waste it, edit your mistakes. Wise words we were all once taught in one ear and out the other. I think a lot of people either follow just their head or just their heart nowadays. They don't try to follow both, because your head and heart can be at odds a lot of times. And a lot of times I think life is about knowing which one to follow at that particular moment. Or finding the middle ground between the two. I really dug that part about the poem. And this is one of the first, I think this is the second poem I've read about Jenny. And I always love getting to hear a new poet read too, because you get more of a sense of how their flow goes. You know how every poet has their own flow in their own head and everything. And it's always great to know that. But I really dug it.
Thank you. Okay, cool. Well, I've got your poem, Fathers of Hell, on the board, Silk, if you'd like to read it for us.
Yeah, this one's a little dark, too. And I'll just say the contest I did was you were supposed to message, and they sent you a villain, and I happened to get Loki. So I think they wanted more of the Marvel Avenger Loki, but I find him kind of compared to the mythology Loki, which is way more of a badass in my opinion. But here we go. This is Father of Hell. Does the weight of my eyes lay like stones upon the bed of your river? Would I wrench a scream if I came upon you as a tiger? Clench to the baying sound of wolves hungering for the blood of your veins out there in the frozen dark? And does your skin crawl with the faceted gaze of flies when you lock your door against the onslaught of midnight? Look at me. Shall I crack your skull open, spill the gray orbs of your sanity upon the dirt, a feast for rutting worms? Then plunge your wailing phantasm to the deeps, craven mortal, thy fear tastes of honey mead upon my tongue. I will cast you into Helheim, where the spiders will flay you to the bone, and Fenrir will feast on your entrails as my daughter watches upon her throne. In peace.
Yeah, really nice. So really nice. I love the questioning followed by the statement. It's really cool. When you lock your door against the onslaught of midnight, look at me. It's really, really powerful. And then you roll into what the hey they're going to do, and it's just really strong but interesting dark writing. You know that you've got wolves, you've got the faceted gaze of flies. It's really interesting. So love your descriptions. Love how you put it together. Thought it was really cool, and it is a pending pick. So congrats on that too.
I was surprised about that too. And thanks. I tried to go with Loki's shapeshifter aspect.
You've supposedly done that really well.
A lot of times through mythologies appeared as wolves,
but there's not many dark poems get on the front page. You've done incredibly well. Did you want to say any words about the poem?
Yeah, to go a little bit further on that pending pick thing, you know you made an impression when the poem hasn't even been on the board for 12 hours yet, and it's already a pending pick. So, like, yeah, bravo, Silk. But, man, with it's no wonder, like, with pieces like Shall I Crack Your Skull Open, Spill the Gray Orbs of Your Sanity Upon the Dirt, A Feast for Rutting Worms. Talk about vicious visuals, and like, you know, it's these details and stuff that tend to blow us away, which brings me to last month's contest for the AP Taylor Poetry Foundation, where you blew us away. Well, actually, the one before that, we just finished another one, I forgot. But like, you have this way with darkness, and I mean, you've been dazzling us for years, but you get better and better and better. And looking at this, is only 143 words, but it's an entire story of darkness and death and hell. I mean, it's just really, really good. I'm glad you were able to call.
Well, thank you, Deb. Appreciate it.
And? Thank you, Deb. And Hatter, were you able to listen to that one?
Yeah, completely with what Deb was saying, just to add a little to it. We talk a lot about a lot of these poets that started around the same time we all did here at All Poetry. And we talk about how some of them advanced in their writing so much quicker than others, of course. K-Man here, Silk, is one that just blows me away. I mean, he gets better and better. I see when he directs his interest towards something other than vampires, this is what you get. This is a very good piece, K-Man. Did that so badly.
Oh, thank you, Hatter. I've always dug your stuff as well, man. And I didn't know you actually dabbled in free verse. I'm going to have to hear a free verse piece from you one day.
Yeah, okay. There we go. I do have some.
Yeah, you do. You do have some.
Yeah, there we go.
So I thought, following on from that darkness, we would follow it and double down with a little bit of poetic Picasso. So this is, and with your SoundCloud too, The Madness of the Orphans. So I am going to play that now, Frank, and here we go.
Deep within the folklore that Midwest exists a lurking terror. Small beings with bulbous heads emerge from their hidden blaze, waiting to dine on the foolish ones daring to enter the realm of awe, when the nocturnal shuttles of death roam beneath the alabaster moonlight. Legend says that these deformed orphans suffer from hydrocephalus, injected with lethal fluids into the penetrating brains by a mad doctor. The wretched souls are more like specimens of a senseless depravity. They were the ultimate creation of the starving children of man's perversion. The mystery of the organ is shrouded in the dreadful secrets of this account. Crumbs, bones, and skull remain as the vestige of their savage hunger. And the murdered blood they spill is the pool of dripping thirst of hatred. For they know not the tedious civility of the whims of human decency. The eerie echoes of the winds blow, a haunting noise that billows suddenly. It reverberates through the creepy woods and the solitary road ahead, leading to the dire sanctuary of the unspeakable predators of the shade. Can you hear from the chasm of hell
In the boom.
It's almost become like a trademark for Frank. That laugh has got to finish it, and you know you haven't got to the end of the piece until you've got that sort of classical sort of laugh out of the way. It's really interesting. I just keep on listening for it now. But yeah, aside from that, what Frank does, apart from have wonderful production, and he does, you know, he's got the sound effects, he's got the music, he puts it in as if it's a full sort of radio piece. He uses words quite beautifully, and so it reverberates throughout the creepy woods and the solitary road ahead, leading to the dire sanctuary. It's just some beautiful wording, very sparse sort of use of words as well as the effects. So enjoy the words as well as how they're read. Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, well, for starters, I agree. When he gets to the end, you know, when you get that maniacal laughter, that it's like the cherry on top. It's pretty much become his trademark. And this one, there's just something, the madness of the orphans, there's something so extra scary when it's these, because, you know, you think of an orphan and you think of a child. So now we've got these children that these doctors, they suffer from hydrocephalus because they were injected with fluids and that penetrate their brains, and the wretched souls of the immortal experiments on a senseless depravity. And just the thought of the doctors experimenting on these kids is horrifying. So every little detail, from the lurking terror to the children to the mad scientists, all the way through, and then coupled with that breathy voice thing that he does, it's got like a Poe mixed with Vincent Price mixed with, you know, Frank, of course, but like it's just... the word again comes to mind, so theatrical, deep and dark and wow.
No, agreed. Really interesting. And now I'm going to say a few words, Silk, while you can get your phone off mute, just to see if you want to say a few words about Frank's piece, if you're there.
Yeah, I dug it. He had a great production there, I really enjoyed hearing. He almost sounded like Vincent Price, honestly.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool. Yeah, especially with that laughing at the end. To me, I always dig Frank's work. I mean, I think I've really been enjoying Frank's poetry since I first. I think I actually noticed him way back a few years ago, and I actually told him he should come over to LMP when we were all in LMP, and I was like, you need to go over there and start reading your work out and stuff, and because I was like, man, you got some great dark poetry, and he had this one that was about a feast of the damned or a feast of the undead or something, and it just had this wonderful setting with the long table and the feast. And this great grandfather's clock that would toll, I think, and then the certain spirits would come out when it tolled certain times. And I just thought it had so much going on in the poem. I just really dug it. And I've liked his poetry ever since that. So.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And this was no exception.
Yeah, thank you. And Hatta, did you get to listen to that one or not?
Yeah, I did. Frank is our group. Wizard of words. I mean, we all had to learn how to write poetry. He came already with it.
Yeah.
The style, he just classes the place up for another thing. He's finding himself in this performance art. That's the next evolution part of this poetry that we're doing is going to be performance. So, sort of like Gonzo did. Yep. Frank does it, and number of other people.
Agreed.
So.
Okay.
And
I've got now,
the egg
I am going to read next Poeta de Capricorn, but because we're not in an adult slot, I'm going to change one word, Poeta. So just warning, and Deb, so I have seen it. I'm changing it as I read it. This is Highway to Hell, and it goes a little bit like this. Your future depends on one last roll. Don't throw a seven, I'll take your soul. Taste heaven, no, not one slice, not hope against my well-weighted dice. Took on the devil and I let you choose, but you can't win, you're destined to lose. Gambled with only your soul left to sell. Prepare yourself, sucker, for taste of hell. You simply assumed that God awaits. Sadly for you, there'll be no pearly gates. Only gates you'll see are gates of Hades for mistreating children and raging ladies. Taught right from wrong, but refused to learn. Now straight to hell where you'll surely burn. You were meant for heaven, didn't go to plan. God dealt the cards, but I had a better hand. You gambled your soul on one last loss. Unfortunately for you, my friend, all is lost. Majority of people become to me, I must tell, only a stairway to heaven, but a highway to hell. End poem. And I, too, from the comic, remember Highway to Hell, AC/DC. Great little rockin' song. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Poeta's poem?
Yeah. For starters, yeah, just when you read this title, it put the song in my head. But, man, this is more dark than I can remember hearing from him. But then there's it's like that dark humor because there's some twists in there. But, phew, I taught right from wrong but refused to learn. So, and it's funny that we don't have a theme on open poetry nights, but little nuances of the usually tie them together, well, except for mine. But, like, the part there where, what was it? The I just lost it where I was reading. The taught right from wrong part. I was saying that with Jenny's piece about the liars, and then here we are again with the right from wrong in Poeta's. So the tie-in is pretty cool, and I see that he's won an award for this, so congratulations on that. But 160 words, but they were put perfectly with great rhyme and awesome content and darkness. Very cool.
Oh, there you go. And apparently the recording thinks we're finished, Deb. So we haven't quite, but Wayne, I'm sorry you can't get in. But we are still going.
He's on hold.
So is he?
Yeah. We have 40 minutes left on the clock. We're good. Yeah, we're good.
Wayne, you're in.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. Go ahead, continue on.
Did you hear the last poem, or did we get you just after that?
Oh, I just now got here. I think I came in downstairs. I went for a ride, but I'm here by myself right now. But I just got here.
No. It's all good. So I am going to head to and give fair warning to Silk so that I'm going to comment from him before we head to the next poem. Silk, did you want to make a few comments about that piece?
I thought it was good rhyme. Yeah, I'm here. I thought it was great rhyme. And to me, I really dug the second stanza, holding my emotions hostage under a restless volcano. Soon the Stockholm Syndrome will run my halo. Twisting the nails until the crimson tide rises. See the true me wrestling your plethora of disguises. I loved how he rhymed disguises there. Yeah, I thought he had a lot of clever rhymes throughout here, and a lot of big words too, which I really dug, and I really enjoyed the whole piece.
Yeah. No, great. No, thank you, Silk. And Hatter, did you want to say any words on Poeta's piece?
Yeah, we've read a lot through the our times with the groups and the radio gig here. In Poeta, we've read many poems. This is very good. Not that his others weren't, but it seems like it's a different
style.
Yeah, a little bit. Solid. It's spot on with the rhyming scheme.
Yeah, great.
That was very good.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, very sharp. Great. Very sharp. So, thank you to Poeta. Now we've got a few more poems to go, and I think I'll probably do Phil the Poet next, and that then gives me Kay and Alf to finish Deb. So that's the sort of way it looks. So we've probably got about another 15 minutes or so. So let us go to the SoundCloud, because I need Phil actually send one in. Sorry, Deb.
54 poems.
Sorry, we've got Heavenly Angel as well. You're right. Yep, you're absolutely right. We've got four to go. Although those stylistically all fit fairly well. So I'm pretty happy that we've got ourselves in the right position. So now I'm going to play Phil's piece. So here we go now.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Captured Thoughts. I locked my thoughts in the shackles of silence, where the thunder of guns vibrate with violence, in a four-walled cell where no one can hear you scream, while people try to analyze the meaning of your dream, holding my emotions hostage under a restless volcano. Soon the Stockholm Syndrome will ruin my halo, twisting the nails in until the crimson tide rises. See the true me wrestling through a plethora of disguises. The words I hold irritate my skin, but I begin to twitch. Parietis entering my bloodstream, making my soul itch. Do I let go of the thoughts I've captured or not? Does this all make sense, or is it an indecipherable blot? And in the end, my captive thoughts found the key. Through a pen they marched to a place they longed to be, tattooed on a pale virgin alabaster skin of poetry. They smiled gracefully, acknowledging they are now free. End poem.
Now, isn't that an interesting piece, Phil? A really interesting piece. I love the idea that you're talking about Stockholm Syndrome and the fact that, you know, that when you're a captive, your thoughts and heads go to a different place. And I love the last stanza of resolution as well. Wayne, did you want to comment?
Yes. It's an excellent poem. It's an excellent poem he wrote. When you hear something long enough, you'll start to believe it. It's because your brain kind of gets brainwashed. And if somebody tells you something long enough, you'll tend to believe it too. It's just the way our little delicate brains work. And it's called brainwashing. And I like the emotion he has in this poem. It's a great poem with good vocabulary. And thank goodness for the pen and paper that rescued him from his bad ways and showed him the path to freedom. Great poem.
Brilliant. Thank you, Wayne. And Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, you know, Phil is one of the poets that no matter what we throw at him, he can come up with something really amazing. And this one, I was noticing that it's a gold winner, but not just a gold winner. It's one of the contests where the host required the entry, the people who enter to vote. And he was voted to this gold by his peers, which to me makes it even more special. So bravo, congratulations on that. But the details and the unexpected topic and on a side note, that the fact that this isn't like from one of mine and I can see my words in there, like the alabaster skin and stuff like that. I really love that people are putting more color in their poetry and that just makes my heart sing. So I think that it's a really total package poem, and again, congratulations on that gold. Well deserved.
Thank you, Deb. And Hadar, did you want to say a few words about Phil the Poet's piece?
I think Phil, I think poetry might be easy for him compared to other people with the rhyme and the thought process, laying the cadence out. Because I've never read anything questionable or bad by him. Phil's process on how to handle a prompt is as spot on, as good as anybody, and he tells the story. He's got the beginning, he's got the body, and he's got the end on every piece.
Yep.
Job, Phil.
Yep. Yep. No, brilliant stuff. And finally, Silk, were you able to listen to Phil the Poet's piece?
Yes, and I accidentally commented on his the last time because I had to get up for a minute, left my headset, and I clicked on the wrong poem.
Yeah.
I was reading along with the wrong poem. Would you mind if I commented on Poeta instead? That way I can...
Please, no, go for it.
His...
No, well, but can I please?
Yeah, my bad there. I went back and read Poeta's, and I really dug his. I love how Poeta can put humor into everything, almost everything, because it was kind of dark. And it was humorous at the same time, which is very hard. That's very hard to mix, is dark and humorous.
Yes.
To me, anyway. And it kind of reminded me of my favorite character, Matt Cawthon, with the rolling dice, and then even with a little bit of humor later on. It's just, my favorite character is Matt Cawthon from The Wheel of Time, and that's kind of how this poem struck me.
I'm just going to run
so,
out.
Really
yeah,
dug it.
Absolutely. Yeah, cool. Okay. Excellent. Okay, that sounds good. Well, I have one more SoundCloud than a couple of other poems to do. So we've done pretty well, really. So the last, and once more, Deb, we certainly thank Stephen and Kay for their very, very, very generous donation of points. It's something that... I've not seen before something of that size, which is fantastic. So my thanks to both Stephen and Kay. And meantime, I am going to play Kay's SoundCloud, and we'll be back very shortly.
This is a write that I based off of a few of Maya Angelou poems, both of them being I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, and Still I Rise. And this is my little dedication to those two. And I call this The Caged Bird Released. He says, I am strong. I am strong. No shrinking violet. No mouse to put in the corner. I have seen the devil's breath countless times. Still I rise. I have touched death's hand, almost shattered me. Still I rise. I am tough, not a cookie on display, but a woman who knows her worth. Not many see that, understand the fire possessed, but still, I will rise. The fire and rain that has haunted my soul, hell's fire that wanted to send me to the ground. Like the unlikely phoenix, I will rise every time, as there is no other choice. This caged bird you think you see sings her own plaintive song unheard to the deaf of mind. This caged bird silently spreads her wings and soars because of the faith he instills in her. To taste the fire she breathes, be intoxicated by her strength, to love the songstress who gives her all, even to the ones who have hurt her. She will rise, smile, because that is all that is known. Strength and character of the songstress knows that a soul is beautiful if you exude unto others beauty, even when not in their presence, shine and true, if you only give unto others without expectations or deception in your heart wrapped up in kindness that does not really exist. diamonds that shine between the meaning of my thighs shines, because I dance to the tune of love without even trying to give unto him of a heart that speaks fair, loving wildly and passionately. I hate to be called a goddess, but through the heart that knows true devotion, they get away with it, as your taste of kneeled love is the sweetest to taste. Through the lips of one that imbibes for the one whose heart beats only for her. The caged bird that was held hostage by others found her wings to soar to him, captivate him, and still, despite it all, refuse to be reduced and rise. In every respect, keep rising, because my rising in life you never wanted to see. In any respect, watch me rise as I prove you wrong. The songstress in flight owns the hands dealt life, but not laid down and died with them, but instead rise in the face of ugliness that lies around me. Rise and rise beautifully.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Kay. I think that's, to me, a poem talking about hope and a poem talking about, again and again, meeting the challenges that face us and doing that in a way that is a positive and eloquent experience. Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, I think that the emotions on this are flowing off the page, especially each time she repeats, "Still I rise." It's like she drives the message all the way through, and it's just, and the tone in her voice as she read added dimension, and it was just like, the diamonds that shine between the meetings of my thighs shines because I dance on the tune of love. And it's a little nod in there to the original words of the poem, but blended in so perfectly and flawlessly that, you know, they fit. And then I hate to be called goddess, but through the heart that knows true devotion, they get away with it. And it's just, I really, really think that she outdid herself. And apparently I'm not the only one on this one, because it's an award winner, and it's a front page pick. And it's on, count them, 8 lists, one of which is mine.
Yep.
But, like, to get that many of your fellow poets to put you on a list is a really awesome thing. So, fantastic. Thank you, Kay.
Okay. We might go to Wayne next. Wayne, what did you think of
I've heard this poem before, and every time I hear it, it hurts inside. She puts so much emotion in this poem. It's just amazing. It's my favorite poem of hers altogether. It's the best one I like of all of her poems. She's got some good ones.
Yeah.
The read is perfect. The mood is perfect. The read is perfect. Yeah. And it just carried it all the way through, and she's a woman that's not going to give up, and she has the troubles, but she's not going to give up. She's going to carry on. Great, great job.
Wayne, and Silk, did you want to say a few words about Kay's piece?
Yeah, I totally love this, and I went and I nominated it for front page real quick, and then I just noticed it just got picked for front page, so that doesn't surprise me. And and
well done.
I really like dug the whole thing. I've talked to Kay a bit, and she does seem like a very strong woman to me. And and to me, I thought I loved this all the way through. And Deb was right; it had so many emotions. It had, I think it had like mutual respect, and I think it had love, it had devotion, it had the part where she's talking about, you can't call me a goddess unless you truly respect me, and da da da. And there's like so many. To me, like our culture nowadays with the online social media and stuff, there's so many things that just people like take those kind of words for granted. And to me, I'm having trouble putting all my thoughts into words here, because there was just so much in this poem. It was just like bursting with emotions and really heartfelt sentiments that I just really dug it all the way through. One of the best poems I've read in a while, I think, honestly.
Yeah, no, brilliant. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. That's wonderful. Hatter, did you want to say a few words about Kay's piece?
Yeah, I love the imagery that it brought up. The devil's breath. It reminds me of these security cams, and a lot of times it's the wilderness of the that they put those cams and they mount the trees to count the animals as they go by. Every once in a while, there'll be something that triggers it either by motion or sound, and all you can see is the breath of the beast or the animal or whoever it is. And that's very eerie. If you're near if you can see the devil's breath, you're way too close. And make you taste the evil within him. Thought it was a good the way she wrote it. And Kay is one that can master emotions and put it in a masterpiece form. And I want to thank you guys too for the points. Thank you.
Thanks, Hannah. Thanks for your comment. Okay, a couple more to go, and I'm going to read them both. Deb, the first one I've got up on the board is by Heavenly Angel called Rapture, and it goes a little bit like this. I have a little secret, wonderful as it can be. I run straight on into euphoric days, which escapes from belly beside butterflies that flutter. I'm dancing on the Milky Way, catching stars in the palms of my hand. I'm crazy on you. You are my magic man. Happy laughter overflows inside, escapes on lips highlighting my face. Sun smiles above the horizon with love, colours the sky with pastels over oiled prints taken on the stairway to heaven. Never did I imagine this. A spell is cast upon me. All I want to do is make love to you. These dreams I've dreamt are coming true in the scent of dusty rose, playful as a dog and butterfly. You are my rapture and poem. The whole heap of song titles by heart, which probably recognised the way through. Wayne, what did you think of Heavenly Angel's piece?
I thought it was lovely and a wonderful use of the song titles of Heart, and Heart's one of my favorite all-time groups. I've seen them probably 4 or 5 times, and so it's kind of touching to see all the song titles, and I wasn't paying much attention to the poem because I was just into all the titles all of a sudden. But it was a great poem, read well, and you did a good job reading it. It was a good poem.
Fine, and Hatter, what did you think of that piece by Heavenly Angel?
Yeah, very clever to use the Heart and the songs. They sing. I'm sorry. I'm glad she listens to Stairway to Heaven, because they do a great rendition when they were given the tribute at Lincoln Center to Led Zeppelin.
Yes.
Heart played Stairway to Heaven at the end, and it's dynamite.
Was good, but also their Battle of Evermore, I thought was just, I think they did it even better than Led Zeppelin did.
Of course. Yeah, the whole fourth album.
Yeah.
Anything on it?
Yeah. No, that's a cool comment. And Silk, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to butt in there, Hatter. I'm sorry. I just I saw that concert too. I thought that they, when they did the Battle of Evermore, I thought they did it even better than Led Zeppelin did it.
when they
were doing that tribute to Led Zeppelin. So I listen to that all the time. I thought this was great. I loved every song. I could name every song she put in here, and love Heart, and it's just amazing piece too. It's more romantic. I know Heavenly Angel's kind of the queen of doing romantic rites, and just everyone she writes is just so full of romanticism, and always dig them. This is great.
Yeah, no, thanks, Silk. And Deb, did you want to say a few words about Heavenly Angel's piece?
Yeah, I noticed that this was for a challenge, a song title challenge, and I think she really stepped up because she threaded an amazing heartfelt, no pun intended, heartfelt story around it. And I'm with Wayne, though. My mind was gone from song to song because Heart is one of my all-time favorite bands, and some of these songs are like my favorites, and it's just like between the songs that she's got in my mind and the way that she spun them together, it came out brilliantly. Great job, Angel. Thanks so much. Great read, AP.
I agree. And so we get ourselves now to the final poem.
The AP.
And yes, Wayne.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I've got a question. I'm using, since we're talking about music, I got a question about music. I'd like to ask ASU and the Hatter, see if y'all know the answer to it. It's bugging me for like 3 or 4 days. You remember the song Mr. Bojangles by Nitty Gritty Dirt Band? Okay, it came out one time on an album. It came out on an album one time. It had a pre recording before it. It had an old man talking about him and his dog Teddy. He was trying to get the dog to sing "Old Rugged Cross." He said, "Come on, Teddy, sing the old Rugged Cross, sing the old Cross." And dog started going "Oh, oh, oh," and started trying to sing it. Have you ever heard that, or do you know where I could hear it again?
Now that's a really good question. I'm going to go to Hatter and see Hatter. Do you remember that? And do you know about that? Or have you dropped, Hatter? You might have dropped.
Yeah, I'm talking to my mute.
I can only make up
part of what Wayne said. I got the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and Mr. Bojangles, but I couldn't catch what he said after that.
Yeah, there was a prefix. Before the song came on, I had an album, and before the song came on, there was this old man talking. He was Mr. Bojangles. But he said, "I was too young for Wars Wars One and too old for Wars Wars Two," and he had his dog Teddy with him, and he said, "Come on, Teddy, sing the old Rugged Cross, play the old Rugged Cross." And dog go, "Oh, oh, oh." And then it led into the Mr. Bojangles song. Have you ever heard that?
Well, there you go. Have you heard about the entree to that song?
No, I haven't. I wish I did.
I haven't either. I'll have to go and look it up, Wayne, and see if I can find it.
So
hold that thought, because we're back on air tomorrow, Wayne, so we've got a bit of time. Give us overnight, and let's see if we can find a few details about it. Yeah. So
thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We'll take that question on notice. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okie doke. Now the last poem. The last poem is by my very good friend and a wonderful Australian poet from Queensland called Alf Collier. Alf is fair to say struggling a bit with health issues recently, and so it is a great joy to be able to read his poems at any point in time, but an even more great joy now to read quite a beautiful piece to finish the show, which is Fun at Granny's Place. And it goes a little bit like this. Butter stains and flowery fingerprints juxtaposed on recipes. Torn off strips of paper pinned to pages with handwritten formulae and hints for shortcut techniques that make the grandest delights in a wood-fired stove. Flour, frosted glass jars, a gleaming silver measuring spoons, paper packages and spices wrangled for space with granny's glasses, and cold cups of strong milky tea on the old oak table with carved legs and the hint of a wobble. Aromas of fresh baked goodies and the hangovers of bread baked earlier tinted the air and mingled perfectly with the scent of burning wood. Laughter echoed as children vied for the honour of sifting assorting ingredients, stirring gooey bowls, kneading the mix for scones, rolling dough, using the cookie cutter, licking the morsels struck to spoons, tasting first delectable offerings and hiding at least one favoured cookie in the pocket of old dungarees. Pots, pans and trays rattled, muttered with rebellion, but slid into the cavernous depths of a multi-tiered oven. When all was done, cake dusted with icing sugar, raisins scattered lightly on baked puddings, and rewards for assistance delivered. We ran into the yard, crumbs and telltale smears lingering on lips, as Granny chuckled behind her hands and started to clean the kitchen. End poem. Isn't that fun? Deb, did you want to say a few words first about Granny's Place by Elf?
Yeah, you know, the tenderness, the love towards Granny, the sights, the sounds, even almost the scent of those cookies, bacon, and stuff like that, it had a mix of tenderness and emotion and nostalgia, and it's just like, it's one of those gems that you hold on to. And then I noticed it's a multi-award winner, and it's been on the front page, and it's easy to see why. In every case, I thought that this came out brilliantly, and I got a message this afternoon saying that, yeah, you know, use whatever we want, and I'm thrilled that this was the one. Thank you, Alf. And AP, great read.
Thanks, Deb. Your last comment for tonight, Wayne, what did you think of Fun at Granny's Place?
Well, it's a very elegant poem, and you read it so wonderfully. It was a great read. But my mind got sidetracked trying to find the poem and everything. I didn't get the real gist of it. It's too nice of a point for me to try halfway comment on. So I'm going to pass some comment, but it's a very, very good read, very elegant poem.
And Ada, did you want to say a few words about Elf's Place?
Everybody remember the first times they ever got the bowl and the whisk or the spoon to lick?
Yes.
The chocolate cake. I mean, I think everybody carries that.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
And
it's like you're somehow special that day for some reason. It's like time
absolutely.
Stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. No, great comment, Hatter. Thank you. Phil, for the last comment, did you think of Elf's Piece?
Yeah, I thought this was a lovely piece. Really, I think it sparked nostalgia in anybody. To me, it brought me back to my grandmother and my mother. I remember, like, a lot of times on, like, Christmas, we were kind of poor when we grew up, and my mother, we always had food help, and my mom would just make up candy for everybody for Christmas. So much candy, and I always help her out in the kitchen, me and my brother, and we like Hatter said, we get to lick the beaters and the spoons and all that. That was always a great time, and it's just whisked you right back to that kind of felt like childhood and Christmas to me. I really dug it.
Excellent. Great comment. Thank you, Silk. So we've got through all of the poems. So I should say thank you to Deb for suggesting that we put this sort of show on short notice. Thank you to everybody who sent in SoundClouds and attached poems, because we got our way to almost a couple of hours of showtime, Deb, which is pretty cool in less than a day. So everybody who dialed in to assist, so to certainly to Silk and to Hatter and to Deb and to Sweet, and Wayne, I think we've got a pretty decent show at a pretty short time frame, Deb. So now we should talk about what's coming up. Deb, did you want to do the honours on that?
I would love to. And on a side note, I just got a message from Mark for the Winter Paint, and it says, "Holy mega points, Batgirl." So I think he fell off his chair too. Just saying.
Now, there you go.
Coming up, we have tomorrow night with Hatter's Topic Lights with him and AP and myself, and that is at 9 Eastern. Light, wherever that word just took you. And then on Monday, Personal Prompt Monday, we are featuring the words of Linda, a.k.a. Liquid Damage, and a really cool artist, Carol Cavallaris, and it's got some whimsical art to choose from because 9 times out of 10, Linda's rights are whimsical. So I wanted to, I try to tailor them to the poet whose quotes we use when I choose the images. So this series has blown me away week after week with amazing poetry. I expect Monday to be no different. And then on Tuesday, I'm trying to see, I believe it's at 8 p.m., it is the show that Sky had to postpone because she was snowed in under about 3 foot of snow that took her power away. So that's the next three shows.
Love it. Okay. Thanks, Deb. So my thanks to everybody for dialing in and for commenting and for listening. And meantime, we will go out.
Can I add something?
On Saturday nights, I always tell you what national day it is, and it's always basically over. So tomorrow, everybody listening, tomorrow is Oatmeal Cookie Day. It is also Sloppy Joe Day, Awkward Moments, National Awkward Moments Day, and Corn Dog Day. So have a good Corn Dog Day tomorrow.
Have a good Corn Dog Day. Well, I'm halfway through it, Hatter, so, you know, that you'll notice that. You get down here and you're sort of halfway through, already started. So thank you to everybody for calling in. And just because it's an old-style show, I'm going up with Ivy Davies and Ice House again on Electric Blue. And I, with Hatter and Deb, will see you tomorrow for Light. And have some good poems. So have a good evening, everybody, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Love and respect.
Good night, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Lots of love.
over the end of the song As It Fades Away by Ivor Davies and the group. We thank everybody once again for being here on the Friday night. We'll be back tomorrow night with Hatter hosting on the topic of light, and Deb and I will be there riding side saddle in the background. So if you want to get a poem in, now's the time to do it. Boards are open and we will catch everybody in same bat time, same bat channel tomorrow. Thanks, Deb.
Thank you. Love and respect, guys.
And thank you. Love and respect to everybody. And I get some award for finishing within 1 minute of exactly 2 hours of the show. There's got to be some award for that. Broadcasters award or something like that. You know, we're within 1 minute of 2 hours. So. All good. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.